Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 69, with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. As you said, episode 69.
69, dude.
And there must be some wrestling thing, like Team 69. Or they must have. Come on, man. They're not particularly classy, are they, your wrestling
fans? So, this is called the New Player Guide Revolution Edition, part 3. This beast is stretched out to three parts.
I'm sure it was like 20 minutes first time we did it.
Yeah, okay. We'll cut more to the story.
Padding it out a bit, we're like four hours in, still talking.
Still talking. Anyway, so there we go.
So that's it. So we're going to finish off the third part of the new player guide.
Yeah.
We've got a game today.
Yes, and we've played a game. And
Civil War.
Civil War. It was Dwarves versus Chaos Dwarves. First time we've used Chaos Dwarves.
I've played against them a couple of times because Jim's got
in one of his many proxy armies. Yeah, first time we've used them. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about them later. Yep. So we've got Chaos Dwarves, we've got the new play guide, and we've got Weak in Paul's World and all the other good stuff because we've been away a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Almost.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll kick off with what has been happening in Paul's World. We need a jingle for this soon.
Need a jingle.
Paul's World.
Excellent. Paul's World. Okay, so what have I been doing?
Apart from Super Dadding.
Well, I went off to that camp trip in Wales. Yeah, I did that.
What
do
they call? What was that film Brandy in Book. America?
What?
Where they, like, I can't remember the name of it now. They're like the Hills of Eyes. You go in like some strange hillbillies.
Right. No, it was all good. Anyway,
the Wicker Man.
The trouble was the journey was difficult. It would take, so this journey would normally take under 6 hours, but it took over 8.
Did it use the M6? That's the one that goes northwest.
M25 round M3.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, did that. It was fine.
6 hours going that way, you'd be halfway to France. Where did
you go? This is on the edge of Wales. Yeah, close to Haverford West. It's as far as Wales goes. So it's the coast. So yeah, but it was great. And it's but the thing that was amazing, the tale of this one was, it took us a long time to get there and a long time to get back. But when we were there, everyone was lovely to the baby, Hazel, and that was great. So it was like, I could just sit back and just chill out and, that was
plenty
nice.
Plenty childcare.
But we stayed in this B&B, and I thought that was going to be, we're just going to be like staying in someone's room, isn't it? That's what normal you imagine as a B&B. Well, it was like this converted farm that was once a working farm and now is this. Fantastic. Like, they had Wi-Fi out there, like the room, the bed was incredibly comfortable, the food was amazing, and you could order a dinner that they would cook to order. And the breakfast we were having were pretty good, and I thought I was like, oh, okay, let's treat Hannah's parents to a dinner here,
right.
and we'll take her brother and her sister-in-law as well, and it was amazing. Like, I had venison. I mean, when was the last time I ate
in a B&B?
Yeah, when was the last time I ate venison?
You're an army officer. You'd have had every Saturday venison night.
So anyway, the guy, because it's the couple that runs it, as you'd imagine, and the guy does the cooking, and he asked me like, "How do you want your venison to be cooked?" And I was like, "I don't know. How are you meant to eat it? Cook? How are you meant to have it?
Medium rare."
You just have it basically alive. Yeah, like, and I was like, oh, "Okay, I'll have that." And they had an unlimited bar, bar that with a license, but with no like closing time. So it was just, I loved it. Basically,
you must have seen this on one of these programs, these four in a bed, you know, like hotel swap program.
Oh, God knows, mate. But
did you find it? It wasn't
even that expensive.
Well, it's Wales.
Because if you don't know, we live in the southeast and things are more expensive down here.
Even shit hotels in London are 200 quid a night.
Exactly. But this honestly, I was like basically saying to Hannah, this is the new standard. Like
when we come down, no more camping for the winters.
When we come down here, we're staying in this place. You know, like even if it's just me, I'm going to stay here because it's really close to the campsite as well. So it's like there's no reason not to stay here. It's so much more comfortable.
We'll just get binoculars. We can watch them from the room.
It's so much more comfortable. Let's just go here. You know, like so. Brilliant. I was. I mean, the food was like, if you had that in a restaurant, you'd be like, that's a very good restaurant quality. It was amazing. I mean, I hope it's still, hope it remains to still be there, because it's just this, you know, how did, I mean, I said to the guy, like, are you a chef? Like, how did you cook that so well? Well, so that was good.
Sounds good. Much better than I expected you to come back with.
I mean, like, I took quite a bit of painting to do, and I enjoyed, like, paint, and basically my joy is to, like, get this bench in this field, campsite field in Wales, and just do some painting. But, and that was fine. I mean, but so I have, and the games, I've played quite a few games since we last recorded.
Because
we had a week break, didn't we?
So rattle them off.
I played Alex at, well, I played two games of Alex against Alex at 40k.
McGee.
Yeah. So, and the second game was using the Space Marine Codex in the new way. And I got to say that that is a fantastic book. And having played a game of 40k now, 8th ed, with a codex, compared to playing games without, codex is fun. Yeah, that's going to be a really good standard of, like, if this was this is how they'll do it, because just the stratagems you had out in front of you was so much more than the gate, than the entry, like the indexes, the starting set. As you'd imagine, like, I was playing Space Marines and I had literally like 14 or so stratagems I could pull up and use, and there's a lot more I couldn't use. Jesus, because they weren't my theme, or they needed to tap, like, certain units I didn't have on the table.
Right.
But there's so many, and I really like, and they all play.
And these balance out, do they? They're not like, well, some of them are bonkers.
I don't think any of them were bonkers. I mean, they're well costed. You don't have a lot of command points.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think you'd get around 7 in a standard, like, say, 2,000 point game, because you get a max of 3 detachments, and some are like 3 points alone. But Ultramarines, because I was playing to, like, you know, the faction I would do is Ultramarines.
Of course you would. So they're playing blue.
So their warlord, his unit trait is when you use command points and a 5+, you get them back.
All of them?
Yeah, you roll, like, you know, say you use 3, roll 3 dice, for every 5 up, you get one back.
Sounds reasonable.
So you can really stretch out those points quite a bit. Yeah. But yeah,
I'm sure you can re-roll ones, yeah.
But the, I mean, what I'm saying is they reward fluff play. Like, so like in a Space Marine army, like a Land Speeder is meant to, like, one of its roles is meant to, like, sight for artillery. So if you have a Land Speeder and a Whirlwind on the table, you can use a stratagem where the Land Speeder calls in the shots for the Whirlwind and the Whirlwind doesn't miss. So, like,
ever?
Well, when you're playing the stratagem, you roll for how much attacks it does, but you don't miss. So it just hits. It just hits automatically.
Yowzers.
Yeah, I know, but that's kind of rewarding the play of the fluff of the army.
Or selling Land Speeders.
Maybe, but like they also have like little neat ones. Like if your Space Marine has a missile launcher,
does it have particular Land Speeders? A Land Speeder with just like a robotic eye?
Just a Land Speeder. Any of them? Just like, well, there's not that. There's that many choices, but like, and there's other things. Like if a Marine has a rocket launcher, a missile launcher, and fires at a plane, like he can use a 1-point strategy and fires a flak missile instead, which is particularly good at hitting planes and some mortal wounds, you know. Anyway, so played Alex twice. I played Eric again with War Machine. I played Striker into Kruger 2.
Okay.
And Striker 1, that was
Lightning Bolt.
Yeah, Lightning Bolt, and I won. Yeah, which is quite cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Striker 2. Yeah. Immune to lightning, is he?
No. Striker 1.
Striker 1.
Yeah. So that was good. Good to play a game of War Machine again.
Yeah.
Yeah, like as it should be played.
So you played Captain Average.
Captain Average. Yeah.
Captain
Average. Yeah. And I won with like the oldest gimmick in the book of like
the knockdown assassination.
Yeah. Yeah.
The oldest of the goldies. I'm totally knocking down.
Totally.
Everybody shoot him.
Totally like, oh, looks like Kruger's going to win on scenario in about turn 3 or 4. It's like, he's standing a bit close to that beast. Knock him down, shoot Kruger.
Like, oh no, we shot him with everything.
It's like, oh, it's not new. Like, yeah, and I also played a game of 40k against Shape.
Shape?
The Tau. Shape. The Tau, yeah. And I played, because I hadn't seen an army builder that updated yet to the codex. I had to work out an army list by hand, and I played really some points down by accident. But I played, these Primus Marines into his Tau.
The proper Marines, new Marines. Yeah, bigger, new, better, faster, harder.
Yeah, the new
longer, Marines. Stronger.
The new Marines. games, basically. And I've got some really interesting games lined up in the future as well. I've got a forthcoming game of Marvel Against Eric, where I'm going to use the God List, which is Thor, Hulk, Loki, and Ares. And it's like, the God of War. Yeah.
What points is that?
That's 50. That's 50. That's only four guys, though.
Yeah. There's no faction. You've just gone completely mad.
No.
It used to be all fluff. Now it's like, let's get the four most bent idiots on this planet.
Hear me out. So, like Thor and Hulk are good Avengers.
Yeah.
Loki will be in the same side as Thor. You know, like, if he's there. So he allows you to use him. And Ares is neutral Avengers.
Neutral Avengers.
Yeah.
Not dark Avengers. No.
He's neutral. He's like, you think he'd be dark, but he's neutral.
And he's the Superman, corporate Superman, yeah?
Is Ares? He the one? No, he's the... Yeah, what? What are we talking about?
There's a corporate Superman that can blow up and then he comes back to life. Is that not him?
Oh, that's Black Adam.
No,
somebody else.
There's definitely Avengers. There's a corporate Superman.
Mm. I can't think of his name.
He was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, he's really too good. Anyway, that'd be a laugh. But I have also Steve, from the Steve and the two police officers, like the one of the police officers called Steve, and remember Riders of the Dead, like the team.
Stephen Ian.
Yeah. Oh. So I'm playing Steve on Sunday the 20th. That's on Sunday.
Wow.
So I'm playing him. You know,
I thought you said Milton. Yeah.
You know,
Milton
he said we
Keynes
scouted out an area close to Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
And this is coming up.
So who's going?
I think I'm just playing him. So it's just me and him.
Okay.
And so I'm playing. He's using Vampire Counts.
No.
And I'm going to use Empire because that's like the most classic matchup for those two, I think, of Vampire Counts. That'd be good. And also I have the next club night I can get to, which isn't the next one, but I've booked a game to play our new War Machine, a new War Master player in the scene. So you remember, I remember at the last tournament, it was this guy called Andy was the friend of Janna's who had borrowed Janna's dwarves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually our club is quite close to him. He works in Chelmsford.
Okay.
So he played Nick. Well, and at some point, and I booked a game to play him. Yeah, and I'm going to be on his team for the team event in October.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to, for that one, I'm probably, what is he? He's going to use dwarves, so I'm probably going to, I don't know what I'll take for that one. But,
Complete harlot. I just picked, the strongest team I could find. So I'm with Steve and Ian.
Yeah, exactly.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a win. Because you were supposed to be running it, so it's like, I can't wait for...
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to go out and find somebody. You can't wait for them to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else in Portland?
I mean, the army's still messing me around. I haven't had any more news on where I'm...
But you watched Dunkirk, yeah?
Yeah, I watched Dunkirk.
You know how things happen in the army, man. It hasn't changed.
Oh, dear. Honestly, so I don't know if I'm going to Croatia in, just over 3 weeks' time or not.
I'd probably say it's up to you.
Yeah.
I anticipate the position to be exactly as it is now, and it will be down to you whether you go without any other promises.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Which is, I probably won't then, will I?
You were telling a story a few years back of somebody that was trying to get into paramedic. It's exactly the same process.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're just a number.
Yeah. Exactly, and it's
your number of the rank.
Yeah,
imagine what it's like to not even have a rank.
Well,
because then they really wouldn't give a shit.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, at the moment in my emergency department, I've got a she's an interesting girl, Louise. But like she's a science teacher by trade, who also wanted to do some army stuff, and so she's in placement with me for a couple of weeks. So she's my army student for the next couple of weeks.
At Broomfield,
yeah. Wow. We've done a couple of shifts together, and work tomorrow. So she's there the rest of this week and next. But she's too clever to be a private soldier.
You think it's got anything to do with cleverness?
Well, not say cleverness, but it's just like she.
Unless you went to Sandhurst, you ain't being no officer, mate.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, just talking to her and about like, because she's as at the rank she is, she doesn't earn much money from the army at all. She's there for like the pure interest. And it's like, and somebody like that is like, in somebody you want as a officer, you're like, right, we need to keep this person because they're above the intelligence level we would normally expect from that, you know, and also she's well motivated, she's got, and you know, she's here for good reasons, yeah. You know, like, in, but if she's bored or misused, she'll walk away because she's not a fool, in a sense. So it's like, it's a interesting story. I mean, but bless her, like I say, like, she's picking up things really quickly at work, so it's like, it's good, it's handy, it's like, it's free pair of hands for me.
Yeah, yeah, the NHS aren't even paying this.
No, they're not paying anything.
It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. You should get more of them in.
Well, I mean, even if, like, so even if this situation with me and the army doesn't improve at all, and it's like, okay, so we've completely gone back on what we promised you, and I say, well, forget it then. Like, I'll,
well, for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, or yeah. Like, I'll break, yeah, I'll career break you until it isn't an issue. I'm not going to deny, like, people like her, like soldiers, a chance to be like it with me if that's what they want as for placements.
Right.
Because just because the army's mismanaged me doesn't mean that other people have to be disadvantaged, you know. And like, you know, because it doesn't make any difference to me in a sense, because like, I'm at work anyway.
Yeah.
Like, and if I like having students, like, I like teaching. I've applied for the charge nurse's job at work. So the next band up, the closing date for interviews is the 23rd, so I'll wait to see if I get an interview.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
It's a very good trait. You've got to apply.
So,
it's good to apply. It's
yeah,
to
no,
apply.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it
like,
gets the ball, it, gets the ball
it
rolling.
Would, like, with that, it would be early for me to be a charge nurse in terms of how long I've been a nurse, which is because I was putting together the application, and the website that you do it for NHS jobs is very easy to use. It's probably the best thing in the NHS. Like, this website is very easy. If you applied for one job ever, you can apply for any job very quickly.
Okay.
Because it
remembers
everything. It autofills lots. So and it's only updating like your application for that job. You know, and putting together the application, I was like, well, I do everything that a band five, like as a nurse, can do in the emergency department. So in my head, the only thing, the only real difference I can see is apart from some extra duties, which I already have in the stores and stuff, and the occasional shift in charge, I don't see being a band six being a lot different, except I'll be in a darker uniform with a more impressive like title, and I'll be paid a bit more.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
well, they'll be down to politics as everything is.
Well,
life,
but,
so.
But I'm sure. But and I do, and there are some people at work who I think definitely should be charged. No, certainly. Junior sisters or charge nurses ahead of me, but if they don't apply, they can't get the job, can
yeah,
they?
Exactly.
And we'll wait and see. And I wouldn't feel bad if one of them decided, oh, I has applied now and got said job, or I don't know how many positions they are, but got a job ahead of me. I wouldn't feel slighted by that, because I'll be like, generally in the, I mean, I won't say this interview to you because like obviously I've got to try and promote myself, but I do think there are people in the department who should be sisters or charge nurses if they're men, or if they're men, before me, because they've got more experience. Yeah. And it's like, in my simple army brain, how can I be senior to someone if I'm effectively junior in experience? It doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. Wouldn't happen in the army, basically.
Right, so yeah, busy old town in poor world. I haven't done much, really. I've just been on holiday. Yeah. Holiday. I haven't even seen Game of Thrones. Got to watch it soon.
Yeah.
And there's been one leak today because we're recording on a Wednesday night instead of being.
Well, okay, so we can talk about the episode you had seen. Well, you've seen episode 4, haven't you?
Here Be Dragons.
Yes.
Yeah. And Here Be Dragons.
What did you think of that episode then?
It was pretty good, wasn't it?
It's pretty good, wasn't it? Oh my God, Barry. Did he, like, okay, so with your Warmaster eyes on here, like, that's.
They left that wagon train.
Yeah. It's like. Dragons seem a bit good. Like, maybe that's how a dragon rider should be in, like, in a high elf list.
It'd be pretty bad if it was that good.
It was just like, wow, that ain't no stopping him. And like,
if you think about how much fire damage it was doing.
Yeah.
And in this game, you know, like, what's it do? Three attacks. Good luck with that.
I mean, it's It was amazing, but I seen a few clips of the making of that episode, and they like broke records for like setting people on fire. Wow. And there's like literally like a group of stuntmen dressed up as Lannister guardsmen, all formed up, nice ranks, cameras on them, and then out of nowhere, it's like a napalm explosion. And you're like, how the hell can they live? Like, I mean, I know they've got like protective stuff.
Yeah, like Formula One stuff.
Yeah, but it's like they are engulfed. You can't see them. They're like the fire goes up.
So I would have thought they'd done it with the computer graphics now, all the flames.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, that's why it looks so good, isn't it? There is that, like, say the dragon breathing fire, but the line of explosions is all real. And it's like, so that's how they mix it in. I guess they'll make it look
so good. I think one thing I will say is I find the writing's getting flabbier and flabbier. Not necessarily. I mean, they've got to move the story on, but you can tell that they're no longer using the books as source anymore.
I think a big thing I've noticed in this shortened episode, because none of the episodes have been longer, so it's only 7 hours of screen time, is that we're in another series... Like, oh, the character was moving from A to B, and that was the whole series, was them going A to B. Now,
They've got teleporters, they're everywhere.
They're literally doing the length of the country in two scenes, you know? It's like...
Well, Jon Snow went from Winterfell to wherever the bloody hell, 1,000 miles,
and he's gone back in half an episode. And he's gone back,
half an episode.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing, is that, like, obviously, because they can't spare any wasted moments, essentially... But the travel time has just gone completely down.
It's a Frankie World 1 minute on Dragonstone, and then the next minute they're over by Harley Garden in 3 seconds.
3 seconds.
And they had to go on a ship to get apparently across.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think that I know why they're doing it, because they've got to get to the end. Yeah. And they want to get to the end. But I've been watching some of the older ones again. If you watch them, the pace was different. It was all kind of nice, and it was dialogue-y, and it was structured. And you could, there was little, what did they call them? What, like little eggs where they plant
Easter
something
eggs.
Yeah, they plant something to come, like the Hodor thing was the best Easter egg they did.
And they have, I mean, this latest series has done a really good job of tying up, like linking lots of things that haven't been mentioned for ages.
Yeah, but you feel like they're having to go like breakneck speed to try and tie everything up, to try and pull everything back in.
I mean, and also they're and I think they're willing to adapt and like pop culture perceived it, you know, like Gendry. He was rowing for ages.
A long time, man. He's been rowing five seasons.
And literally, like because he was at the premiere of this series, so it's like why is he here? It was 4 years ago he was in this TV series, and in the last episode he has turned up. A joke's made about it, like the fact they're like, oh, you're here. I thought you'd still be rowing, and it's like they even mock themselves now, isn't it? And it's like.
That's bad. That's going to annoy me now, but it's annoyed me already. So, like Gendry, because now he is first in line for the throne now.
Well, is he more legitimate than Cersei? But if someone who is more legitimate than Robert Baratheon in the first place, like how the thing is,
but no Baratheon's left.
No. But what I'm saying is, like before he overthrew the king, didn't he?
Who?
So Robert Baratheon overthrew Aerys Targaryen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what if there was still more Targaryens? Would they be more legitimate?
But Joffrey got to the crown.
Mm-hmm. So he was never legitimate.
But Jenny was in front of him because he's legitimate.
Yes, because he is legitimate.
And then whatever the next one, the window jumper, he got to the throne.
What, the window? What, who?
The guy that jumped out the window when the
key Tommen.
Tommen.
Who was actually, played another Lannister back series ago.
Then Cersei. He's in front of all of those.
I mean, it's all messed up. A Targaryen would surpass him, wouldn't it? Because they'd been in.
The throne's still by Baratheon, isn't it?
But like, that's the thing. The family that's in power, that is king or queen, are just whoever's taken it, isn't it? So how. Because the Targaryens themselves took it off somebody else, like when.
But I thought she was still a Baratheon.
Who?
Cersei. She might call herself a Lannister, but she's not been divorced and remarried or anything, has she?
Well, she's Lannister in every way, but like...
Maybe not name. I don't know. Maybe she just changed her name by depot.
I
suppose. But anyway, let's not talk about Game of Thrones. I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm looking forward to watching the next three episodes, but I've got a feeling it's getting flabbier and flabbier.
No, I mean, it's still amazing.
Yeah.
It's still amazing.
I'm not looking. I watched The Hobbit, man. I watched The Hobbit. Especially the edition Hobbit.
Yeah.
9 hours.
Took a while.
it's better than watching nothing.
Yeah.
But it frustrates me to death, The Hobbit.
Battle of the Five Armies is good.
Yeah.
That's in the battle scene.
Oh, the battle scene's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barrels, I still can't handle.
Yeah,
that
like Dane on a war pig. That's good, isn't it?
That's one of the best with the twirly rolls.
Ah, look at those twirly whirlies.
Let's give him a good bloody hammering. Yeah. Whatever he says. Fantastic work. Right, so what are we on next, Paul? That's my work.
Yeah, okay.
That's my. I haven't done it. They've been on holiday. That was fun.
Other quick hobby stuff I want to mention.
More, Paul? Come on, man.
Yeah, so I backed the Kickstarter Game of Thrones.
You're bonkers, but
that sold so well.
So well.
That the $150 backing, you're going to get like $500 worth of stuff.
Yeah, but you can call it what you want, can't you? I'm a little bit concerned in another thing that grinds my gears. There seems to be a lot of one piece pre-molded plastic stuff kicking around now.
Oh yeah, why not?
Well, I don't know. It's just like board game stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but if it's good quality. Anyway, good quality. I mean, I'm splitting it with Alex McGee.
Okay.
And you can be the Boltons. They're the extra faction you get in the game.
Flame, man.
Well, yeah, but you might as well try it, mightn't you? And also I want to say something else. No, it's gone.
Ramsey Ball. Bastards.
Can't remember now. Oh, yeah. No, it's gone.
So, One Piece plastic stuff. We'll talk about them another time. But yeah. I'm not a massive fan of them. But they are becoming very popular now.
That was it.
Very popular.
Today, the Total War trailer had Skaven in it.
Did it?
Yes. They look amazing.
Amazeballs, sir.
I was very excited.
I'm glad you didn't buy that laptop you weren't going to buy just to play.
Well, I did.
So I will not do it. I won't do it. I've done it.
And I'm loving it. And now the second game is going to come out and it's going to have Skaven in it. And that map's going to link with that map. And then your
graphics card doesn't work. I have to get another laptop. I've got a goddamn another laptop to play the new bloody gun.
No.
That's what it's called, Total War, Warhammer 17 or whatever. Right, okay, so today we played a game, a Civil War game.
Yes, indeed.
So we played Dwarves against Chaos Dwarves.
Yes, indeed. So this today, like, so we're recording on Wednesday night at the 16th.
10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock at night. So it has come out of a bit of a random, because we'd set a date for Friday, but Barry's back early from his holiday, and I was supposed to play down the club. But the guy I was playing, Mark, couldn't make it, had to work late.
Okay.
So it was like suddenly we're both free, and we thought we'd do a YouTube game, but then Barry thought we'd have to look after his kids. So
which I kind of did, but then I didn't.
Then didn't.
I didn't know I wasn't until 9 o'clock.
So I wanted to use this Chaos Dwarf army.
But I wouldn't let him, because it wasn't painted, and you're not having it on
exactly.
YouTube.
Exactly, so I thought, okay, so we were going to play Dwarves versus Skaven, but because it's just, we didn't record it for YouTube, I got to use my Chaos Dwarves. So I've built this army from a mixture of Polar Fox miniatures with the Orcs and Goblins and Eureka for the Chaos Dwarves. And I like it. I've managed to find enough of the variation to make an army list out of it. It's not everything. I couldn't find examples for everything without stretching over to like a third party. Remember we've often said try to keep the same manufacturer for an army to keep the look. But in a Chaos Dwarf army where there's clearly different races.
I mean, you kept the orcs together, haven't you?
Yes,
the orcs
I have. Yeah. So I there's either.
And the dwarfs are from Eureka, yes. And the orcs are from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's kind of worked there because then the two manufacturers are making two different races.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite cool.
It's an interesting list, a Chaos Dwarf.
Yeah.
I've always had concerns about giving what are very, very resilient infantry, heavy-hitting cavalry.
Yeah. So
those cavalry are pretty beefy,
they're
man.
They're pretty tasty, but you do pay the points for it.
You do, well,
so
of
I'd basically, with the models that I scoped from these two ranges, I planned out a 2,000-point list. I got the models to the list.
Yep.
So I have no flex at all. I have no other options.
I don't know what
but that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm just saying I have what I have for this.
The artillery's improved. It was beefy.
Yeah, the artillery brigade the Chaos Dwarf army can put together is pretty nice.
Obviously not as good as the Dwarf Brigade.
No,
and,
but it shouldn't be.
Dwarf Paul, Chaos Dwarf Paul made the rookie, and I repeat, rookie mistake of deploying in column against cannon.
I haven't played against cannons that often. Yeah.
Cannons. Right, get into line, boys, for fuck's sake. So he deployed in column, and he's thinking, oh, well, don't worry. But
with the Leadership 10 general, you can pick where you shoot those cannons. So the first thing that happened was a unit of Chaos Dwarfs were deleted.
Yeah, deleted. Like,
boom.
Oh, well. But the thing is, the Chaos Dwarf army doesn't have a flyer unit. And like, I was like, well, somebody's going to get shot first. You know, and it should be slaves. I should be sending orc slaves up to get shot first. They can catch cannonballs like anybody. But yeah, there we go. Learns. But it's a really good game. So my list, I'll just quickly run through that.
Yeah, run your list.
Was 4 Chaos Dwarf warriors, 2 blunderbusses, 2 black orcs, 4 orc slaves, 1 hobgoblin wolf rider unit, 2 bull centre units, 2 earthshaker cannons, 2 bolt throwers, a general with a sword of fate, which is to make up points, a hero with a sword of might to make up points, and a sorcerer, because the cheapest thing in the list is orc slaves who are 40 points. So the 15 points was just to be used.
To be used.
Yeah. And the way I build the brigades is I'll have an artillery brigade of 2 earthshakers and 2 bolt throwers, units. And that's a lovely artillery brigade.
It's stingy.
Yeah, it does a good bit of shot. I mean, it's...
And it's got 8 stand and shoot.
It's not as good as like 2 units of cannons and 2 flamethrowers. But it's not bad, you know. Like,
well, nothing's as good as that.
No, I'm saying. That's it's what like, I as I'm saying, it's not as good as the best thing, but it is still strong. And then you can build your classic missile infantry, and backed up with other infantry. So the blunderbusses with Chaos Dwarves behind them, and then you can do a unit of cavalry, brigade of cavalry of 2 bull centers and a hobgoblin wolf rider unit. So it's a cavalry brigade of 3. And then you can make a mixture of 2 infantry brigades of mixtures of the orc slaves, some with black orcs and some with chaos dwarves, to stop the orcs, basically keep the orc slaves behaving. And yeah, they then have a command 9 general, 9-8-8, and they have access to a spell deck, you know, the chaos dwarf spells, which are all aggressive as you'd expect, but they don't have a movement spell. I mean, it's like, I like it as an army. It's good. It's a good army, Chaos Dwarves.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. So in my dwarf army, I'm very Janus.
Yep.
If you don't know who Alex Janoway is, he's the guy that keeps rinsing our tournaments until recently. This is exactly the list he'd build, I swear to God. This is probably, without even knowing it, apart from he doesn't use gyrocopters, I don't know what he would replace them with.
No, he doesn't, does he?
He doesn't. Mm. But so I ran 6 warriors, 1 handgunners, which are there purely to protect the artillery brigade, 3 rangers, 3 troll slayers, and those are built in brigades of, we have troll slayers on the front, then warriors, rangers, warriors in column behind. We have 2 cannon and 2 flame cannon in a brigade, which is our pain brigade, protected by the handgunners who stand in front of them. Hopefully they're on a hill, hopefully handgunners in the front. And then we have 2 gyrocopters. I thought they'd do good work, just annoying, which they are annoying. They can be chased down a bit easier now, though, with
some of the revolutions rules.
But the other thing they can do, because I knew we were playing scenario, is they can contest, because they can't control points, but they can contest.
So we play take and hold, which puts down, in the new War Master Revolution Compendium, puts down 4 objectives, staggered throughout, you know, in depth of the table, where you're getting more points for controlling the ones that are furthest away from you to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good scenario.
Brilliant scenario. Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And, so, what can I say? It was strong. It was like...
It was good.
It was our first time trying this one, because we had developed a similar scenario, take and hold, from our little tournament pack, and yeah, but I preferred this one actually.
Yeah, I mean, there's no
same
wrong
name.
With that.
Like,
yeah, I mean, no slight intended. I mean, we worked on that one. This one's better.
So yeah, this is better.
Way better.
Fine.
So let's play this one. Mm-hmm. So I also got a general and 1 runesmith with a 5-point sword. Mm-hmm. I go like absolutely minimum characters. This general at leadership 10 does a lot.
It does a lot.
And there ain't that
and
much.
And he did
to
a
order.
Lot. Yeah, like,
there ain't that much to order, and he does a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 19 units, break of 10, and a scout of 6. And I think this is a pretty strong list.
Yeah. Pretty strong.
And if you, as I say over and over again, if you get those artillery brigade, if you get the artillery brigade and it's unmolested for, and it's like turn 5, it's going to have dominated.
Yeah.
With leadership 10, you can choose where it shoots, and it shoots and it takes stuff off.
Because, I mean, they are different races, but they are quite similar, you know, in a lot of ways, the Chaos Dwarf and Dwarf Army. It was like a peace trade of artillery brigades here. Like, as in, both artillery brigades could do enough damage to probably knock off a unit reliably, or really damage it down. So it was like we're trying to peace trade over who's shooting at what.
But what made the difference? Because we'll just glance over this game because we've got a lot to get through.
Yeah.
Is I with leadership 10 was able to alpha strike your artillery with my artillery. Yeah, and once that happens, it's finished.
Yeah.
Because your artillery brigade's blown to pieces.
Totally. I mean, this is my first time playing a Chaos Dwarf army, so, you know, like, I don't feel bad for losing against, you know, a well-played army, as in a, you know, like, dwarf army. But I was quite pleased that, because I'd built this army without ever playtesting it once.
It seemed to work
And I was just like, let's take a... I did ask you, like, when I was planning it, like, do you think that's a good list, you know, etc. And I just, you know, I quite like it. And when it's all painted, it, like, done up, it'll look a really nice-looking force on the table as well. So,
I mean, orc slaves, are they necessary?
Well, I just like... I mean, you know me. Like, I like to have something of everything I can. And I just like the fact that they're cheap. No. Well,
they're cheap for a reason.
Yeah, I know they're naff, but it's like
they've got the troll bonus, haven't they? The negatrate.
No, but only when they're on their own. If they've got somebody else telling them what to do, they've, you know. So if
they're good supporting,
they have
troops,
a negative one unless they're with Black Orcs, Chaos Dwarfs, or Blunderbusses.
And what, they 40 points?
They're 40 points. Mm. 4 attacks, 3 hits, and no save. You know,
so even less armor than regular Orcs. Are they running completely stark naked?
But also, it's a Chaos Dwarf army. It's got to have some slaves in it.
It's got to.
Yeah, it's like, that's what a Chaos Dwarf army is to me.
It's big hats to me. Yeah,
big hats, not actually that many Chaos Dwarves, and lots of slaves.
It looks reasonable. Without spending a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, I'd look at the spell list, and maybe I wouldn't take a wizard. I don't know, it depends on the wizard.
The only thing I didn't see any, like, the right models for was their character mounts. They have 2 monstrous mounts.
Oh, do they?
A great Taurus and a Lamassu.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I couldn't see any models that I was like, oh, that'll be a good whatever.
That's why Jim's list is always smaller, because he has 2 of those monstrous mounts and he uses them to screen his guys.
I didn't take any. You know, you can also take Hobgoblin Infantry, which is 3-1 shooters for 3 hits and no armor for 50 points. No min maximum of them, but again, it's like the ranges. Like, I didn't see something that I was like, oh, I'll use that as hobgoblins. I mean, you could.
Also, your list didn't have a lot of flab in it. It only had 3 units of cav.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you'd remove.
Exactly.
And you only need 3 characters.
Yeah, it's got some expensive units there. Bull centers, although a very good cavalry, are 150 points. So,
And you've got black orcs. You got
plenty warriors. Of chaos dwarves. Plenty of black orcs. The same points, 110.
So, I mean, you can run 2 of those, or...?
You can max 2. Yeah.
Max 2.
So, I had 6 units of infantry that were 110 points each. You know, same as you, for your dwarf army.
Oh, more, because handgunners... rangers are 110 each.
True. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're dwarves.
Yeah, that's what you got.
That's what we run. So, it was a good game. I won, I think, 5-3. 5-3, was that it?
So you broke me, and the objective points, you ended 5-3 to you. So... in a scale of victory, it wasn't a whitewash.
I mean, what went wrong? I'd planned to, just before I broke him, because I learned from last time, I had my 2 gyrocopters and I was going to contest both these objectives, and then it would have been 5-0.
5-0, yeah. Well, they were in a shellacking.
That was the first time Dane fucked up all night. Yeah. and it didn't mean anything. And then he got angry, joined the Slayers and won the game at the end.
Just went in personally. Go on, Dave. Got on his war pig. And I was like,
get in there, fella. Give him a good hammer in. Mm-hmm. Right, so that was our game today. So that was good.
Yeah.
Chaos Sponsorship.
Yes, Chaos Sponsorship. Fantastic. If you need to transport your Warmaster armies, KR is the thing to do.
Yeah, you can fit 2 in a box and they're only about £20.
Exactly.
You get 2 armies.
We do
in
need
a
to build a jingle for this, you know.
I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah.
I'll get a vocoder. Vocoder. Right, so, good. What's next on our list of goodness after KR?
Are we on to the topic?
Oh, we're on New Player Guide Revolution Edition Part 3.
Yeah.
How long have we been talking already? Before we even get to the bloody topic again. We've been talking for a mighty 38 minutes.
Fair enough.
So we need to bang this topic on, because we've got quite a lot of good stuff to talk about today.
Okay, let's do it.
So, right, combat. We need to explain how the combat system works in Revolution, and more importantly, how it's changed if you're a new player and you're into Revolution.
Okay, so how does combat... how do we begin?
Right, so it's quite an abstract combat system.
Yes.
Because you've got units, but they all seem very more same-ish. They all do 3 attacks. Some of them, if they're really good, might do 4.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have armor, some of them don't have armor. So even if you're charging with really, really good troops, like... Black Orcs.
Yeah.
You're only rolling 15 dice.
Yep.
Which seems a bit weird. Because you're coming from 40k or fantasy and you're rolling like 600 dice. Rerolling ones.
Well.
There's none of that stuff. You just roll 15 dice and you can get some horrific spikes.
Yes. I mean, the thing is at its core, it's a 4+ to hit system.
Yep.
So units have a certain amount of dice you roll. It's, you know, unless scenery is helping you. And that's, and it's a 4+ to hit system. So that's, it's wonderfully simple in that sense. It's like, how much dice do I have? I need 4s to hit.
Yeah.
And that single D6, 4s to hit, allows lovely spikes either way.
Yeah, and also, as we've talked about last episode, most stuff is very generic.
Yeah.
So like an elf is the same as a marauder.
Yeah. Yeah, or, yeah, so, and he's marginally better than a human.
Yeah. Yeah, and slightly better than orc, but in a different way.
Yeah,
because orcs are more hitty.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the combat system. Essentially, the units have a certain amount of attacks, and it's, you know, it's totaling up the amount of attacks you can do to it. You know, and you must fight to your front, which is a revolution like change. You know, and you then total up the amount of hits you can get. Saving throws, like the best saving throws in the games, are like 4+. You know, one or two individual pieces of 3+, but they're rare. Like,
oh, most stuff's got like virtually no stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and
six up.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, five up. Your standard, like, to a lot of armies, your standard infantry are 6+ save, for example.
Yeah, like halberdiers.
Yeah, so six up. Yeah. So orcs, if you took okay, the thing that everyone can relate to, which is halberdiers, which is basically trained human infantry, they are 3 hits, 3 attacks, 6+ armor. Yeah, that's it. That's the stat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you would say, I guess you would call that like the vanilla stat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what you will soon discover is, if you're fighting against other halberdiers and you're charging, as long as you've both got a reasonable amount of support and neither of you have defended or whatever, you'll win generally because of the charge.
Yeah. But you're still going to take damage winning.
Yeah.
You know, there's few combat... The combats that have worked best in War Master are where you can pull enough leverage to do enough without taking a lot back. So you end up doing a lot of damage, taking very little back. And if you're lucky, you wipe out a unit for no loss or like a standoff. Mm-hmm. And that is obviously, that's the sound tactics. If you can, unless your army clearly outnumbers his and you can afford peace trading, even downhill, like a Skaven army against an elite army.
Infantry army, yeah, exactly.
Can happily peace trade down. It'll happily lose a unit to take 2 stands off the enemy.
Oh, that's a glorious thing.
That's probably a win for the Skaven. You know, like, it'll, you know, like, and so it's, as long as you've done something to them, then losing whole units doesn't matter. And that's why I love Skaven.
And Undead, another classic.
Yeah, and
Undead,
another classic example.
Even cheaper. 30 points.
Or potentially limitless if you've got Raised Dead. So the attrition value is like, even if the unit is on its own and it's flanked by something, even really much more inferior troops, you know, it's not unbelievable to see a unit of goblins, like, give a unit of chaos warriors a run for their money if the goblins have hit them in the flank, because it's not kills, it's support that will win that fight in that sense, because the weedy goblins, so they're opposite ends of our scale, left and right of arc. The goblins are some of the worst unit in the game, but they pay the points, like they don't cost many points. While the chaos warriors are to the upper end of which are in fluff far more elite, have better stats in every category, but if the goblins have flanked them with support, they won't have to damage the chaos warriors to push them around. Yeah, to have initiative on them, to basically, you know, make them not as effective for the opponent.
So yeah, it's quite difficult to imagine, but if you've got a unit, so you've got a single unit of chaos warriors, and they're, what's that, 140 points now in new money?
Yes,
and they've hit on both ends,
yeah,
by say goblins, supported goblins.
Yeah,
even though you're doing a million attacks, well, you're doing 3 actually. So you're doing 3 attacks each end.
Yeah,
you're only hitting with 1.5 of those.
Yeah,
and you'll be literally crushed between the goblins due to support.
Yeah,
because you can't go anywhere.
That's the thing. I mean,
so even though a unit of goblins is 30,
yeah,
so you're worth nearly five times the unit of goblins, yeah. the goblins will win.
Because the thing is with infantry, even the worst infantry in the game can support as well as the best thing in the game. Yeah, there's so the using our two examples, the our goblin infantry can support just as well as Chaos Warriors could. So there's no point. I mean, the better builds and the better examples of like, I'm being totally combat effective is where your second rank, your supporting troops, are the cheapest troops that you can tap in the game.
Yeah.
Like you're in your army list. So
the Black Orcs supported by goblins.
Yeah, so basically your Chaos Warriors fighting in the front rank, supported by the cheapest thing in their list.
In Marauders, yeah. probably.
So like in an Orc and Goblin list, it would be like Black Orcs fighting in the front rank, supported by goblins.
Yeah, or trolls. Yeah.
Because there's no wasted points there in terms of okay, so that will matter when the front line starts to die and whether the second rank is going to get involved in a fight.
Yeah.
But I mean, ogres are your classic example. Is nobblers in an ogre list are just as good as supporting?
But they can't support.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's correct.
Because they would be too good.
Yeah,
all those iron guts running around supported by nobblers.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's my good point. And then goblins are the good example there, but, you know, of getting the most out of your points. But, you know, then your brigade, like, so your 110 point Black Orcs with 30 points of goblins backing them up, which is total 140, is just as effective as fighting for a good few rounds. Against a brigade, which could be twice as many points, which could be two units of Chaos Warriors. So a unit of Chaos Warriors in the front, 140, backed up by another unit of Chaos Warriors, another 140, 280. So the Chaos Army is spending 280 points to fight the battle that the Orc and Goblins fighting at 140.
I think the Chaos Warriors would win that battle, sir.
Yes, they would, overall. But nothing happens in isolation.
Okay, no, absolutely right. And they're committing 280 against your 140. Yep. So another interesting thing. So we've got the abstraction about the number of dice rolled and how stuff's very average. And but you can get some ridiculous spikes, especially if you've got good armor.
Yeah, I say like it's a single D6 system with a 4 pluses that mark a success. That allows you huge spikes either way. You can never, like, we've seen some fights go...
Yeah, some ridiculous spikes.
Some ridiculous spikes.
Especially with Bretonians. They have a habit of running in and doing nothing.
Because my most recent spike is this unit of dwarf ironbreakers who charged a unit of orcs
in the
rear. And these were, I say ironbreakers, so they're dwarves with a standard of shielding. They had a character backing them up as well for another dice. And they managed, so that's 13 dice they rolled in attack with better armor.
Four times better armor.
And they managed to lose that fight against a unit of rear fighting orcs who hit them back for 9 attacks. And the Ironbreakers lost. And it's like, the maths in there was like, I'd like to know what percentage.
So you had one extra attack. I think you had 13 attacks.
I had 13 attacks.
Oh no, I only had 9. So you had 4 extra attacks.
4 extra.
And you had 3 up armor instead of 6 up armor.
Yeah.
And you lost.
It's just I'd like a maths guy out there to tell me the percentage.
You don't
of
need
that
to know. It was bad.
Likely
sir.
To go wrong.
Just don't walk under any lampposts. That's what I'm saying.
But it happened. It happened. And I find when I play this game, I kind of get a feeling of like if I'm being lucky or not, or whether I can push that or not. I don't believe in luck. A bad player blames luck. But like sometimes when I'm playing War Master, I definitely feel like I'm not being very lucky today. This isn't going to work. Or like, you know.
I believe in math. The glory of math. Forget luck. Right, so another couple of things we need to talk about is pursuits.
Yes.
How the game system works.
Yep.
So if you win a round of combat, you get a choice.
Yeah, I'll explain. Like, we'll give a hypothetical standard round of combat. So my unit of halberdiers, being glorious men, charges Barry's unit of orcs. So I receive an order or initiative. I send in my unit of halberdiers. They have 3 attacks each. When they charge, and they're charging in the open in our grass field example, so they get +1 attack each. So the halberdiers have gone to 4 attacks each. So 4, 8, 12, because I've made contact with all 3 stands. The orcs, an intact unit, 3 stands. They all have 4 attacks each as well, but they have no armor. So it's
orcs
my
have armor? 6 of armor?
No.
It's just your slave orcs.
Ah, it's my slave orcs.
They're running naked. They've just got like that bandana around the knob.
So okay. So yeah, sorry, quite right. So my unit of halberdiers, who are cheaper in points than the orcs, have got 12 attacks against Barry's 4, 8, 12 Dog back. Attack. So I roll my dice. I get 6 hits. Barry fails all his armor saves.
Oh my god! I've two stuns.
So I've done 6 wounds. Barry strikes back with his 12 attacks. Only gets 4 hits in, which I save one of them.
That's a joke.
So that results in Barry scoring 3 because he's got 3 wounds, and I've scored 6. So the difference between the two, 6 against 3, is 3. So Barry's unit is pushed back 3 centimeters.
Correct. And I lose 2 stands of my 3
because
stands.
The orcs have 3 hits each, 6 hits, you know, so 6 hits will kill off 2 stands. 2 of them drop away. I've lost 1 stand because I've taken 3 hits, and humans also have, halberdiers also have 3 hits.
Yeah.
So I have my 2 intact stands with no wounds carried over against Barry's single stand, who's backed off 3 centimeters. So then I have choices.
Yeah.
So my halberdiers can either pursue against the orcs, where I will push them directly forward wherever is possible, and to like, and I can start to lat round if I'm, you know, like if I'm so inclined, which I would in this case. You know, against.
I think you might have to
engage the corner. Yeah, but I'm saying when situations you would.
Would you be hitting with an extra dice for pursuing?
I would. So,
and an extra dice for pursuing more than 3.
So I then have a bunch of modifiers come into my unit. So I have the 3 attacks basic.
Yep.
They get +1 for pursuing. It's not a charge. So they get +1 for pursuing. And they get another +1 for every 3 centimetres I've pushed my opponent away, which represents momentum of victory, essentially. So my 3 attacks goes 1 for pursue, 1 for pushing 3, goes to 5. So my 2 stands roll 10 dice against Barry's 4, because I haven't flanked him.
Yowzers.
You know, so in that case, I easily wipe him out, and Barry does a wound back after all. So my halberdiers are left with 2 stands with 1 wound carried, and I have then choices, because I killed him in 2 rounds of combat.
Yeah,
I've done quite well. Sigmar was with me. Yeah. I could then make an advance, which is a fresh charge into something I can see, the closest thing I can see,
but without a charge bonus.
Yes, and that's a big difference. So in old War Master, it used to be 20 centimeters of the first round, 10 of any other number afterwards, because there was no limit on the amount of combats, you know, like rounds.
Mm-hmm.
In Revolution, has changed it to max 2 rounds of combat, but you will get 20 centimeters off the second one if you've won.
So you could fight 2 rounds of combat and then pursue and fight advance and then fight 2 more.
Yes.
So you get 4 rounds potentially.
Which is
back in old money.
There was no cap.
If you got like charged in the flank by horses, you could be fucking running like 12 rounds of combat.
Yeah. Plus a revolution put in a rule where a unit will always roll at least 1 dice.
Yeah.
You know, like per stand.
Oh, the glory of when I charged Janus with the dragon in the flank of his goblins.
Yeah.
And they got no attacks back. Just stood there dying. Yeah. Well, drove after drove. Well, that's dying.
The
thing.
It's like there comes a point where there isn't even need to roll dice then, because
silver helms and a dragon in the flank.
It was just a matter of working out when the silver helms had wiped them out to the next thing.
Yeah, and then move on to the next unit.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, oh.
So Revolution has improved a lot of the annoyances of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So that means we've discussed advancing. And we've discussed the pursuing. And so how do we win this game, Paul? Let's not ignore scenarios.
Have we already talked about that one? What? Have we already talked about that in another episode? How to win the game?
Break it at Regicide? Well, maybe I didn't take
that
off the list.
Yeah, I think we had talked about that.
Well, anyway, just quickly, you win by either breaking, which is half the number of units rounded up on the board, or killing the general.
Yeah, because I made a point about new players don't lose generals. Old experienced players don't lose generals. Yeah,
well, shouldn't lose generals. Mm-hmm. And now what we've got kicking around is some fantastic scenarios. If you go for the compendium edition, which Alish has knocked together.
Yes.
And we've played 2 of these already, and they're both top
83,
draw.
83 has Taken Hold, which we just played.
Yeah, superb.
Page 84 has Battle for the Tower, where you have a central piece of objective, like a tower is a classic thing.
We had a tower.
And you're scrapping around that and trying to be the one who controls it at the end.
We played this on a YouTube video.
It
was orcs versus... It was orcs against dwarves.
Dwarves.
I should have won, goddammit! The orc challenge was there!
Well, you really did.
But you didn't.
It was a draw.
It was a draw.
So that's
I nearly lost.
Yeah,
I nearly lost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's a really good scenario as well.
It was. But what's the scenario on that one?
Yep. Then we have Defending the Village.
Oh, that's the next one.
That's what we... And Wagon Train, we have to try next.
Wagon Train!
Defending the Village does the board in a diagonal, you know, set up.
And you have an attacker and defender.
And you have attacker and defender in this one. And the defender is trying to, is stopping six... well, actually, it's three, isn't it? Two single houses and one village from getting burnt. You know, like, while the attacker is trying to do that. So he's trying to burn their
burn
houses. Yep.
And then we got the wagon train. So we're going to...
So it's going to be four houses, line A and line B, and then a village.
So we're going to play Defend the Village next, and then we're going to do the wagon train. The
wagon train, which has a central road going across the table, going across the long ways, and one person is defending said wagon train and has tried to get his wagons off the long edge of the board, the furthest distance across. And if Barry has a dragon, like, flying, he can just burn up the wagons in just one move.
Good game.
Yeah, and shake the hand. But, like, and then the attacker's trying to do that.
Because that's literally what it did.
It's just...
All gone. See ya.
So, the first two we've played so far, the Take and Hold and the Battle of the Tower, definitely could easily be replicated in a tournament because they don't need much input from, as in... tournament organisers to set up.
And especially if you add that to the standard battle line one.
Oh, yeah.
You've got three there.
Yeah, so and meeting engagement.
For the old randomised deployment.
Which we love. Yeah, and these two, Defending the Village and Wagon Train, would take a bit more prep from the tournament organisers because you could replicate everything you need with card cutouts. You know, fair enough. You could do it.
Do these stuff.
Yeah, which would be a little trickier for to do because the Defending the Village one, you'd need one, two, three, four, five markers. One's going to be a village of a set size, and others are single buildings, which every table would have to have to play this scenario. And the wagon train, you need a road going across the table, and you need X amount of wagons.
Definitely more involved as a tournament organizer.
Yes, but with prep and with knowledge beforehand. I mean, there's four scenarios if you're counting the standard, the standard way the game, and the one we've invented that isn't replicated here, meeting engagement. So that's already more than enough. But it's whether when we next run an event, whether we want to try and do one of these in the tournament and like.
I definitely think Take and Hold, definitely.
Oh yeah, no. I'm saying it's up to us. I mean, we'll play this Defending the Village and Wagon Train, and we'll mull them over as snow. I think both of them are going to be really interesting, and certainly the Wagon Train will be really interesting because the defender will have these wagons all to order as well as his own army. And he'd be like, what am I doing with these things?
Oh, shit. Dane's got a lot of work on.
Yeah. So if your dwarf army's like, he's suddenly then got another half dozen wagons he's also got to order. It's like, uh-oh.
So you order them as a brigade or individually? We'll do that next time. We'll do
six wagons on the road.
God damn.
Right. I mean, it will produce some funny matchups because some armies, you can't imagine them having wagons. They could be like loading warpstone on them, but there are definitely some armies you'd be like, why have they got wagons? Like demons, like what
demon
what,
wagons?
Demon, yeah. But like, if you were playing demons, why would demons have the wagons?
Cultists, yeah. Transporting cultists around.
It's just a bit rat. It's like, well, that makes sense. But there we go. Okay, right. Or why would demons be defending a village? Like.
Cultist village. You're asking for me fluff.
I'm just saying.
You're crazy,
like,
sir.
I'm just saying. It isn't like, well, why would they? But anyway, never mind.
Of course they wouldn't. Mm. But then we're playing with little 10 mil.
Yeah, I know.
You need to abstract.
But yes, there are scenarios. I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing a standard battle line game where you set up 20 centimetres and you have 80 centimetres distance away from each other.
Yeah.
But you will find, I'd say, that if you don't have a pool of armies or a pool of opponents and you keep playing that game, things will start to get a bit repetitive. Like, if one of your playing group, say your group of players is only four players and one of them only has a dwarf army and you only play that scenario, they will start to castle up, like, noticeably. You're like...
Well, I do anyway.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's just like... That might get a bit repetitive,
okay.
But scenarios bring the flavour out.
They do,
yeah.
Right.
So the next thing we need to talk about is army lists.
Army list.
And then we've got list building next. So we'll just do army list for this.
Okay.
What is so good about almost army lists?
So what is fantastic is the way the army lists are built. So every army list has a core of troops that it must include. And that is its best feature, essentially, I think. Okay, so I've just randomly opened the army's book here. We need to talk about the army builder as well.
Yeah, that's coming next.
So okay, Vampire Counts, I've just randomly opened this book for. So in a Vampire Counts army, and the rosters are built for 1,000 points. So for every 1,000 points, you've got to have a general. It's a mixed, min-max one. Yeah, so you could only have the one. It's got, naturally, an army's got to have a general.
Yeah.
And in every 1,000 points, you've got to have 2 units of skeletons and you've got to have 2 units of zombies. Then there's everything else is a restriction on the maximum amount of units you could have. So, for example, you can have Grave Guard here, 1, 2, 3, 4 down. They can have a maximum of 4 units in 1,000 points of Vampire Counts. So in your standard game, which is 2,000 points, you could have at most 8 units of Grave Guard.
Well, your Elf Warriors. Warriors.
Which are your 3, 3, 5, profile. So the min-maxing of that, basically it's the core of the army. But when the army lists are written, like, what is this army?
Yeah,
well, what is in a vampire? Yes, of course, there'd always be extreme examples. So, like, okay, so maybe in a smaller game based kind of system, it's like more like fantasy used to be. My vampire's leading his elite household knights out on a little quest, like, to do something.
What
evil.
Did they used to call it? There's some fun Black boss Knights. List. Yeah. It was just like a vampires with knives. Yeah. Just killing everything.
So, and you're like, well, okay, you know, because then it's a small example. But in a proper army, a Vampire Counts army will always have some skeletons and zombies in it. Just always will.
You've seen the films? How could it not?
How could it not? So I really like that. That's, to me, that is the best thing about the army lists.
True.
Because it's very difficult to build ridiculous lists with them.
For example, let's do like elves.
Yeah. So you will get
high elves.
Yeah.
I've got to have 4 units of spearmen and 2 units of archers. And the archers are 75 each. That's 150. Yep. The spearmen are 60 each. That's 240. So that's 390 plus a general is 180. 390. 470, 570.
Yeah, 570. And that's in a 2,000 point army.
And that's without any choice.
Yep,
that's on the board.
Yep. So even if he...
25%, more than 25% is already spent. Yeah,
even if Barry loaded all the rest of his points into Silverhelms...
Which he did.
He would still have to have this core of infantry there.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which
that's
is great.
Good.
That's great.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
good.
It's like it's...
Keeps you honest,
yes,
sir.
Yes, exactly. Now, because the people, you know, gamers need boundaries. And if they don't...
Like children.
Yeah. If they don't have those boundaries, pushing the boundaries enough. And if you have no restrictions, essentially, or very open restrictions, then you will build some ridiculous army lists, which in our gaming question is the problem of this is the current flavor of the month is 40K, is the new edition of 40K. And even in its match play, you can still build... It's very open to really build what you want.
Yeah.
You know, you might get not as many bonuses in, you know, like in that game system for building some lists, but still you can.
Yeah.
And that is totally legal. That is totally what you can see in a tournament.
But what War must have done is make that more difficult.
Yes, very, very much so. And
like your list today, it was balanced.
Yeah.
You only had 3 characters.
Yep.
You only had 3 units of infantry, cavalry.
Yep.
You had reasonable infantry, but it wasn't... Yeah. I mean, there wasn't any spamming, really.
Yeah. Every army in Warmaster will look on the table like its fluff is meant to be.
Yeah, Skaven looks big.
Yeah.
Tomb Kings look big.
Yeah, yeah. Even if Skaven were to take as many rat ogres as they could cram in their little cheesy mouths, they'd still have tons of other stuff on the table because they can't...
High elves are small.
Yeah.
Everything's expensive.
There's nothing cheap, in that list.
Oh, because they're tiny. If you got rid of the grots, you'd only have like 10 units?
Yeah.
12 units?
Yeah,
you're done.
Your break point would be like 6. So I really like that. And the next really good thing about the army list is the core army rules. So in such a like a beautifully simple yet complex game system. The army rules are fantastic for it. So Undead are your classic example. Okay, so where you have initiative in the game, which is where living troops can do things, react when they're close to the enemy. Undead, being undead, can't do such a thing.
Nope,
so their army, they have core army rules where they can't act by initiative, but equally, that's a negative, but their positives are they're not worried about enemy near.
No.
They can't be terrified.
No.
Yeah, like they don't get command.
They don't get confused.
Don't get confused. And the only command penalties they have is distance, scenery, and
losing stance.
And those simple changes make the army play so differently from each other's.
Yeah, miles like, different.
The Skaven,
that on top of the way that the lists have to be built.
Yes.
Because you're carrying
a
lot of chaff.
Skaven are another brilliant example of how army rules affect the game. Like a core rule across every army is a brigade can only be 4 units at maximum.
Well, there's some slight exceptions. You can add like spawn,
to
chaos and stuff.
Okay.
But generally speaking, 4 units.
So Skaven, one of their army rules is that they don't have that restriction.
No.
You know, they can make as big a brigade as you can do. There
that's
is
one brigade.
Your army. Well, it'd be hard. You'd have to form it up like a square or something.
Yeah, a big square.
But yes, you could do that.
You could have a big movement train with your whole army on it. There you go, fella.
I'm gonna have to try that one time against you. See what happens.
But you wouldn't even need the bell then, because it'd be the general doing it. Wouldn't it?
Generally, like I give you this order
on a 9. Boom.
Yeah.
Move.
Oh, I failed.
Move 10.
Yeah, I can't wheel at all.
Ever.
Yeah, like ever. We're wheel.
Just moving the pie plate.
You can only move forward.
Just get up there.
So, that change of that army rule there makes Skaven play dramatically different.
Dramatically different.
Yeah, because from other armies, because they can do something nobody else can.
Yeah, and even like things like you've got High Elves and Dark Elves.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar.
Yeah.
But one of them's got some crazy leadership problems. As you'd expect from Dark Elves, a lot of treachery, people trying to kill each other off.
Yep, yep.
They've got slightly different ways of shooting. One of them shoots more accurately, High Elves. One of them shoots short range,
mass.
But twice.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them has Cold One Knights.
Yeah.
One of them has Silver Helms.
One of them uses more monsters, or has like a War Hydra.
The difference between a Cold One Knight and a Silver Helm is only one extra attack on the charge. But it makes a ton of difference on the charge, isn't it? They have 4 attacks.
Cold
ones and Silver Helms are 3 attacks.
Yeah.
Everything else is the same.
Yeah.
But it makes a massive difference, because now if you charge with those Cold ones, you're rolling 15 dice against the Silver Helms 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if you get charged in the front, it's an even matchup, 12 against 12.
Yeah, exactly.
So that one tiny change makes a massive difference.
As I say, that's why I love it so much. And so like your army list, army list is, for every army, is like 2 pages of A4.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. There's fluff. Yeah, of course, there's always fluff. But, you know, that's your army list. That's all the rules you're going to need for that army, aside from the rule book, is your 2 pages.
Okay.
It's great, isn't it?
Okay.
That's great.
Fantastic game. That's where we play it. So, my next and probably best bit of advice, apart from going to Alice's house, warmasterrevolutions.com or whatever it's called. Sorry, I need to post a link.
Yep.
It's on our Warmaster podcast Facebook page. Go get yourself the compendium.
Yeah.
Warmaster Revolution Compendium 1.0.
Yep.
Get that. Then the next thing you do is go find Dave's Warmaster list builder on the internet.
Yep.
And then you're sorted.
Yep.
Because he's now done the Revolutions list.
He has, yeah. And
there's a few more coming.
Yeah.
That I need to sort out now I'm home.
Yeah.
Maybe on Friday.
Yeah, we have a few more votes to go on. Yeah, now you're back. But there is now a free army builder online, which I think was only missing Ogre Kingers, wasn't it, on the army builder?
Who's still on voting.
Yeah,
I should have finished now, the vote one hour away. So hopefully that's done.
So there you go.
And then that'll be released.
Yeah, and that army builder is really easy to use. It's just one of when you find the army builder, Revolution is just one of the drop down choices.
Yeah, like, and it's got all the lists in alphabetical order.
And
boom.
It's, boom.
19 lists.
Yeah.
There's one more coming, which is Ogres. I'm pretty sure that's nearly done.
Yeah.
There are a couple of changes. I can't remember what they're for because it's been a while. I've been away on holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple of other things running around that are minor.
Yeah.
And then we got the 3 devils.
Yeah.
We got the
Wood Elves, Beastmen, and
Norse.
And
the rules committee are looking at them, and hopefully they'll get put to bed this year.
Yes.
But the Beastmen are stuck because the Wood Elves and the terrible wood question.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Norse are stuck because there's some issues around Valkyries and how they're tied to shaman upgrades.
Yeah.
And also what Huskarls are and why they're unique.
Yeah.
because they're different to everything else. And so are Valkyries. They're different to everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, unique things are awkward in this game.
But if you're avidly waiting for Norse because that's the only army you have, you know, we are addressing them. They are votes to be had.
Yeah, just play your own list. I mean, there's no... And if you're at a tournament... just ask the tournament organizer.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure it'll let you use Norse, or you can proxy them for something else.
Chaos easily.
So what you need to do, get yourself the rules, the compendium, which has also got a set of army lists you can print out, and then go to Dave's Warmaster list builder. I keep asking him to put a donate button on there, because that's where I build all my lists, but one day maybe.
Yep.
If you want to support him, he does also run Warmonger Miniatures, I believe, in the US.
Yep. So buy some of his product.
Yeah, there you go. Support him that way.
Yep.
When I if and when I get to my Dogs of War, when I finally finish my Empire, then I will get my Empire
and lovely stuff,
ideas and stuff from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, good. So we talked about list building. We've talked about those bits. Revolution. Why is it better than the regular one? Why is it better than the old school?
I mean, I this will actually tie into a nice shout out as well. Actually, so we've had recent messages from a group of gamers in LA. Which is quite random, you know, considering where we are and where LA, Los Angeles is. That's lovely, like power of the internet.
It looked good in the films.
Yeah.
It looks good in the films.
So, and which, and
apart from falling down, if that's the one
So just to shout out their little group, is they've created their own little Facebook group as well, and they've, you know, you can find them by Walmart, you know, links on
LA, it's Warmaster LA, LA or something.
Yeah,
it's on. If you go to the Warmaster GW Facebook page, they're on there active on as of today.
Yeah,
us on today.
Exactly. So, and you know, there you go. I mean, LA is a massive place, but you might live close to them anyway. But hopefully, that would bring you some more players. Anywho, because I read that his description about like their their rule set they're using, and they say we're playing Warmaster Revolution, which is effectively Warmaster 3.0, the third version, the second version being Warmaster Ancients.
Okay.
Then it's like, okay, that's a fair way to describe it. You know, so original Warmaster, if that was your first version, then afterwards came Warmaster Ancients and Revolution. The reason to play Revolution is that it has been further developed into this lovely rule set.
So it's cleaner. It's quicker. There's less fiddling around.
There's certainly less negative gaming experience.
We've talked about it before. Where you at least be able to turn to face the charge that's hitting you in the flank. Which is one of the biggest negatives.
I mean, it is a dice game, so obviously, you know, if you just are failing to achieve anything with the dice, then you know that's a dice game. But in Revolution, you can mitigate some of the problems a lot more. Like I don't think it'd be fair for anyone in a game to say, I just lost because my dice were awful the whole game. Like, and that's the only reason.
Yeah.
There's always something you could do. You know, and Revolution allows you to do those things.
Yeah. One of the best things for a new player I'd advise you to do is find some terrain and put your infantry in it.
Yeah.
Because infantry are bloody hard to get out of terrain, even shit infantry.
Yep.
Even the best infantry in the world, Chaos Warriors, going up against supported goblins in terrain, they're going to struggle.
Yeah, there's no guarantee that unless the Chaos Warriors themselves were supported, there'd be no guarantee of victory.
Yeah, it's hard work getting stuff out of terrain. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So what are we doing? Revolution's good. That's what I've said it a million times. I keep saying it. There's never been a point since I started playing where I've thought, oh, maybe we should go back. Or maybe we should reincorporate some of the older stuff.
Yeah. Nor I know that anyone who's played Revolution has felt that either. Really.
Yeah. Mm. I think most people were longing for a second edition.
Yeah.
To try and get rid of some of the bugbears, and now we have second edition. So, thank you, Alex, and your Czech team.
Because you guys say you've got to remember that this has been done. This version
for free.
Has been done for free and for the love of the game, essentially. Because there's no agenda. There's no like when a company has a war game and they reduce another edition of it. Sometimes those agendas can be because we want to sell more.
God forbid they come back.
Yeah.
And bring those goddamn Sigmarines into this goddamn world.
Bringing back Necromunda. You see that?
I did.
Well,
I was a lot happier about that than I was about that shit you were trying to make me play. I'm not playing this.
Well, you don't need to now, do
you? Well, good, because I was never going to play it. You got like, what were those Tyranids?
Yeah.
Collecting, were they collecting?
Fuel.
for what, the Tyranid mobiles?
Yes. All right. Anyway, but yeah, you. I mean, I don't. I mean, I think there is no illusions now that GW won't do Wallmaster again.
I don't think they'll do it again.
No, I can't see that. But then again, I will eat humble pie because I said on record that I didn't think they would do Necromunda again.
There's no money in it. It's too small. A hobby.
What, Necromunda?
No, this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't suit their... They doesn't suit their way of... It's all plastic.
They might do Epic again, but it won't be anything like Epic.
Unlikely to.
It'll just be like bigger Titans.
Yeah. Which will play quite differently, I think.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... Good. So what else has been happening in the world? I've got some stuff to show you.
Oh, right, okay.
It arrived today, special delivery. So I haven't really looked at it yet because I've been busy. We've got in-laws over from Canada. So these guys Canada. Are a little, what do we call those in here? Savagekin.
Ah, right.
There's a unit, they're the three masters, Savagekin.
So these are forthcoming products of the Kickstarter.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got Yeti.
Can I take them out or should I just look on the base?
So we've also got two Shaman and two Heroes or Chiefs or whatever we're going to call them. We've got a Mammoth Master. Goddamn mammoths. We got some alternative mammoth heads. So we got a mammoth and three heads.
Is this graphic on the backs? Is that the artist? It's
funny, isn't it? No, he apologised. He had to get some little bags.
Oh, right, okay.
From a little shop. And the baggies are very... So it says, Basil Bush, smoke in peace. I don't believe he partakes. I don't think he's that way inclined, but it just made me laugh. He did apologise for sending me them in these bags. So basically what I'm trying to say is we've already got a mammoth master. I mean, he has to go back when he's mastered.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got three heads for him because he needs to have a saddle put on him and then three different ogre bodies to put on.
I spy Sherwin in this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we've also got... he also then needs an alternative from this master to put an artillery piece on the back. And we've got a giant... Who's looking a bit of a badass? This giant here. We'll measure him on later. So we're well under the way. He's done a lot better than I expected because the window he gave me originally was small.
Yeah.
And he's done well. So I'll get some pictures of this on the Kickstarter tomorrow, hopefully.
I'm going to send Sharon his lone likeness.
Okay. I think I'll send him a picture of that anyway. Yeah. So I'll get some pictures up on the Kickstarter. And I'd say we're more than halfway there. And the major thing we need to work on now is getting the mammoth done. I think apart from this, we've got to get the special edition, limited edition, big ogre, the free big ogre, and greenlings, good old greenlings.
Oh, I love greenlings.
Paul and red greenling.
Oh, and greenlings we trust.
Greenlings we trust. So there'll be a unit of greenlings still got to come, and some greenling. And
okay, so I'm just gonna say they're amazing because it's you, but these look fantastic.
He's a professional sculptor. He sculpts at this scale, and
yeah, brilliant.
So, and he's working off art as well because that's the hardest bit. Somebody's got to.
How are they scale to other stuff?
I haven't
stuff?
Got anything on the heat. I've just brought them in.
Yeah. Okay. So
next we'll get some pictures.
Let's have a look.
I don't know what you've got in your army. That's...
So because you've got to match them up foot to foot. Yeah, that looks
so
about
eyes,
right.
That looks about scale. Right. So you'd be 10 mil to the eye, and yeah. This guy should be 32 mil to the eye. Yep. The giant. Paul's got a giant in his hand.
So I'm just comparing the giant.
I'd like to see him against another giant from another range. We don't have one here.
I'm just comparing the giant to Troll Slayer model. And the Troll Slayer's come up to about the upper leg part, you know, just below the waist. Yeah, like, yeah. That's cool. But that's the top of the dwarf's crest. So yeah, this looks fantastic. Brilliant.
Okay, good.
I mean, Barry, this range of models will look fantastic as an army.
I can't wait to get it on the table and actually start playing with them and get it painted.
Mm.
We're not miles away from it now, so maybe by November, if I can get somebody to paint it on commission, we'll be in there.
What's the right term you want to use for these?
Are they what are they? Are they Savage Kit?
The Savage Kit. They look good.
Yeah,
they look good. Right,
like a slightly mutated. Starved, thrown into the pit, Spartan style.
And these are your characters, yeah, boss.
So it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
The Yetis are quite a bit.
And I was a little bit concerned about how it was going to pan out because there was a lot more to potentially do than I'd given him notice for.
Because of such a success, Kickstarter.
But it was looking all right. I don't want to tempt fate because I'm still... The only thing that scares me is the mammoths, but we'll get them sorted because they're quite a big lump and they're quite messy. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
We won't talk about that tonight because we've already gone for 1 hour and 20 nearly.
So if you've backed Barry's Kickstarter as Blackgate Miniatures, and the models look fantastic coming up. I mean, it'll look like a brilliant army on the table.
And it's going to be a good one. Right, so put that aside. Right, I also got, because my mum and dad came back from my brother who lives in Boston, and Final Fantasy Games, who are now owned by Asmodee, who I don't really like Asmodee, but that's who owns them.
Are they?
They are.
Is that new? Is that?
It happened like midway through last year, I think.
Right.
So they have a Black Friday sale every year.
Okay.
And I went balls deep this year.
Right.
I mean, Joe's not even seen it yet, so I've been hidden. So
where's this sale?
It's just like an online
sale. Online, right, okay.
I can't remember who flags it up to me. It's Tom Pugh or somebody flags it up. Thanks, okay. Tom. So I got the entire back catalogue of Battle Lore 2. Like everything. Everything that was produced. Even the extra dice. I don't know what the extra dice are for.
Bloody hell.
There's quite a lot of stuff. And it just keeps coming. I think there are 10 in total. It was like, I can't remember if it was 90% off or 80%.
Really? Wow.
I mean, the postage was, I think the postage was like $35 in the US. So God knows how much it would have been to post that here.
Yeah.
So I can only do it because I've got family in the US.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So that's a project for this year, Paul. We need to play this.
Yeah, I mean, you know I have this game.
I know, but I've also got I've told you I've got the Westeros one.
Yes, okay.
I've got the entire...
We've got lots of things we have to do.
I know, and then this one I had to buy. I got the entire Discworld collection, which is set in fantasy.
Oh, the world that was? Yeah.
The world that was.
Warhammer Discworld.
And one of the expansions is this one here, I believe. I think it's got Skaven in it.
Oh, that's me. I like it.
So you can play with your Skaven and you build a list.
Skaven.
And,
it's a game. Vampire Counts, Dark Elves, Skaven. There you go. A game like no other.
So we've got the dwarves here, Danes there, kicking ass.
Hammer and Hold, yep. So fantastic. So I don't know Discworld. I don't know how that
can't have done particularly well.
Yeah.
But it was a bargain, so I think that was like maybe not even $20 for all of it.
Really?
I don't know.
Can you like tell me next time you do this?
Yeah. It was good. Anyway, so it came back. It's hidden from my wife, and it just joins the horde. Hopefully, we get to play it soon.
Yeah, Battle Lore is a lovely game system because me and Adam played through all of Battle Lore 1 when it was a French company did it.
Yeah, I bought that. Did you just have the box set?
Yeah. Yeah,
I got a couple of little bits, but not
which enough. which was just like medieval, like quite generic stuff. And then Fantasy Flight took it on and took the same rule set and did Battle Lore, a second edition, where the models are a lot bigger in Battle Lore 2.
A lot more fantasy.
And I thought that, have they gone too far with that? But no, not at all. I mean, it's a lovely game system for a war game in a box like it. You know, where I've got to build an army. And then play my opponent against it, and you have scenery on that on the table, and it does interact well. It's a lovely game in a box for that. Mm. Yeah. If you had a friend who wants to play war games or has played war games but kind of doesn't anymore, and like but is free to like play a game out, you know, a board game, which is a bit more than that.
Yeah.
That's the bridge between the two.
Okay.
That is.
So the first edition, I just got the box set, something called A Call to Arms, and I think like Trolls Under the Bridge or something. They were the things I got. Not very much.
Oh, okay, right.
The first edition. It's very, very difficult to get anything.
I didn't know they did anything else.
There was loads.
But like, really, I mean, Adam got that game ages ago. But I was like, oh, I'll get Battle Lore second edition then. When we played for it basically, and but I'd have bought all that definitely for the prices you're saying.
Well, maybe next year, sir. Maybe this year, even Black Friday. Keep your eyes open as Fantasy Flight Games.
Yeah.
But if you're not in the US, it's a ball ache. I mean, literally, I think the shipping quote was lunacy.
Oh yeah, no, this is tapping a relative like in situation, America, yeah, right? Yeah, relative yeah, situation, yeah, yeah. isn't it? So I totally get that. Yeah, like I mean, I understand what it is, but it's that'll make a good session because I mean, It's not. Yeah.
Is it two player?
Yes, it's all two player. So basically, in Battle Lore, you you have a map and you have left, middle, right.
Yeah,
it's like so you're,
and you build cards, you can only activate.
You build
the,
your army.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then you set it up on the table depending on the scenario. Because there's tons of scenarios in there as well, which dictate how you set up.
Yeah, I remember those.
What you're trying
to
do.
I think I might have played the first one with my wife.
And then you have your command cards, and those cards can only activate in certain areas. It was like patrol right flank, which moves some units on your right flank.
Yeah.
So of some, like, me and I played it quite a bit, and you can like get screwed over by the cards essentially.
Yeah,
like,
you need like, on the left. Like, got
I,
on the left.
I really want to move the left. Attack on the left, but it's like I can't do it because I have no cards that allow me to tap those units.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good
system.
Game.
Clever system.
Okay. Mm.
Well, Borg, his name, Richard Borg. Good name.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay, so we got that, my big swag bag, which is why I've not been spending too much money, because it's getting to the stage now where I'm beginning to worry I've not got enough life left to play the games I've got. I want to play a bit of Epic.
Yep.
I want to play all this stuff.
Yep.
I want to play a lot of War Master.
Yeah, of course.
Run out of time, mate.
I mean, clearly you want to use your own army that you've created. Win with your own army.
Win.
You want. I mean, you've met. Yo, I remember your reasons for wanting to do this ogre list in the first place was that you
can't buy one.
You can't buy one.
And I'm not Jim. So, I can't make one.
So, like, and clearly you want to use this army, don't you? That's why you've done it.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I did test.
I did test having. What do we call it? Greenlings?
Yeah,
supporting ogres, but it is a bit hard because, like you said before, like cheap stuff supporting good stuff is hard.
There's nothing. I mean, if they were allowed to do so, that might be too much of a swing for them because there's and plus thematically, in a sense, it's
they
like
wouldn't go near them, would
they wouldn't go near each. They're like the food source of the ogres.
Well, they
like,
just
like how are they supporting them?
I just imagine like you know that Game of Thrones just quickly back to where Sam's emptying the piss pots.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine nobblers do.
Yeah.
Just empty piss pots. Go make the stew. Yeah. Empty the piss pot. That's your job, mate.
They're not going to, like, militarily support them in any way, are they? Like, they're fighting over there. We'll help the wounded or whatever they better do. Like, yeah, it doesn't look right. It wouldn't fit right.
And when I did play against Jim, it seemed very strong.
Yeah.
Like, all ogres, even bulls supported by nobblers are pretty meaty, mate.
Yeah, of course.
Because, like you said, there were... It's a massive difference having to put 220 points for a unit of bulls supported by bulls or 135 for bulls supported by nobblers.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've given them something different to do. Anyway, we've let them support the scrap launcher if you want to take a scrap launcher.
Yeah, which is...
They can still support Yetis.
Yeah, I mean, and the Yeti nobbler brigade is quite interesting. Because it'll always have a minus one command, but
like your trolls.
By trolls, but then it could have a place. I mean,
but the Yeti's basically a babysitter if you're going to put him with nobblers, because he loses his no distance modifier.
Yes, that's right.
So you can't send them off.
No. Okay. I mean, obviously, I backed your Kickstarter well, and when everything turns up for myself, there'll be several.
But you did sell off your ogre army, didn't you? So you don't own one of them.
No. I did that because I was getting this.
Okay.
And I was like, no, and I only let it go for what the price I got it for.
Top
dog. So
who backed my Kickstarter, even though you bought your ogre?
Yeah. Well, you know. Anyway, it could be I'll be an army that Simon does for me at the moment because Simon is currently doing my vampire counts for me. Like he likes undead, so he's done the Tomb Kings. He's doing vampire counts as well.
I need to get some more painting done.
Well,
not me personally. Obviously.
Get in the queue for Simon if you like want him because like he's working exclusively for me at the moment. No, he's not. He's like
he
takes
bankrupt.
Other commissions, but he did my entire Union Guild Ball team. Okay. Nice.
Wow. Even Paul's paying people to paint now. That's where we're going. No, you know what I mean, because you actually do enjoy painting.
But I do, yeah. And I mean, like,
but you're finding the time pressure.
But at the moment, I'm doing, what am I doing at the moment? I'm painting Loki. You know, like, so, but yeah, no, I do really like it, but it's, I mean, equally, if I was to give, say the Chaos Dwarf army here, where I was like, okay, so that's a good list, that's from the models that are there, it's
got... You could definitely loan that list out, they wouldn't be embarrassed.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, and then it's taken on by and comes to a good standard back at a reasonable price, with no postage. you know, like at all involved. So there's no like, you know, no issues there. It's like, well, you know, like whenever I do look at like, whenever people are selling like entirely painted armies, I do always have a look. I'll be like, what have they got there? Like, how much of that? How well is it done, etc.
Yeah, it's hard to see though. It's so small. Unless it's even hard to take when you've got like proper lighting and stuff.
Exactly. Of course it isn't. So of course, but it is like basically. Jim's quality, for example, like some of the stuff he's done looks amazing.
Yeah,
and it's like if he would, you know, if he was
Nav.
Yeah, if he was selling those armies, is he selling such a thing? I'd be like, and I had, and I've done before, like, and I had an unpainted version of that. Well, I'd just shift my unpainted one because I look at how good that is. I mean, and the point of, you know, the point of the collector in me is that, but now it's like the hobby, the money I like to spend on hobby. Is now going to like call Simon like doing some stuff for me because I've kind of tapped out where I can what I can go after, and it's like again it'd be nice to own these because I want to be able to lend them out to people in a sense. It's like, you know, when I play this Andy guy, this new player to our club, and like you on the scene, like he's borrowed Alex Janna's dwarves. Well, I'll be like, well, you're equally welcome to borrow any of mine if you want. Yeah. You know, like any of my lists, is like any of my armies if you want to.
Dwarves are solid though.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that's a bad reason. But like, if you wanted to try something else, I'd be like, well, there you go. Have a crack at that. You know, again, Warmaster is a lovely game for that because there isn't too, you know, they're not big models. They're not like, there's not many too many broken pieces you can, as I say, like be too precious to hand that out to somebody. Like
unless you're playing high elves.
Yeah.
Because those spear tips are bitches, yeah, man. Well, they were badly bitches.
Like, but because I saw this, I was watching a battle report a bit earlier, which was an 40k one, and they had a commission done Imperial Knight. And there was proper artwork on the knight's panels. Oh, like literally, like it was like they are little pieces of art on that. It looked amazing, but you'd never, like, it was almost too nice to use, you know? It's like, I daren't use this thing because, like, I might scratch it or something, and it's at a quality far beyond I'd ever be. I mean, like that would, you know, because the Imperial Knight has blank panels on a lot of it, and he painted artwork on all of them. And I was just like, I was looking at that, and like, that is even in this, which is like some, you know, semi-professional filming, you know, like, you know, it still looks amazing. And like, if it was under, it would win competitions basically. Like, if it was under effective lighting and like entered for, you know, it was that good. And you'd be like, oh my God, that'd be like dangerous. I'd be scared to use it. But I wouldn't have any issues lending out a Warmaster army to somebody because, I mean, you know, here's the case. It comes, you know, you can borrow the case as well. I'm lucky enough to have quite a few, you know, cases. AR multi those cases. There you go. It's like, it's pretty transport proof. You know.
Okay. Super. Right. Okay. So we're going to try and record another episode next week.
Yes.
And then there's only two more weeks and the kids go back to school and then the fun can start.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so we need to set dates. We need to set an epic date. We need to set a battle lord date. We need to set a disc wars date. It just goes on.
It's going to be good. Right. And some Warmaster, obviously. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to record, try and record next week during the evening, one night, because I'm free most evenings now.
We could do something on our podcast, isn't it? It's like occasional guest spot games where we try. Like when this Game of Thrones Kickstarter turns up.
It'll be a while for
that. No, I'm not saying it's tomorrow. Like, yeah, I know it will be delayed. But like when it does turn up, like we could have a go at it and just have a talk about it.
I'll tell you what, if we're talking about Kickstarter, I did back a game on Kickstarter.
What did you back?
I backed a game called Brigade. Brigade? Which is done by an Australian company. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Discworld-y, little board game. Yeah. Really cheap. I think it's $49 Australian delivered anywhere in the world. Well, okay. Anywhere. Like, okay. Mainland okay. World.
It's quite good.
It's good. I backed it.
Yeah.
It looks good. So if you want, if you look at a little board game, I think that's pretty. It's pretty good. If I'm backing it, it must be good because I'm a tight bastard. So right. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us at the Facebook page or on warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yeah.
Next week we'll try and do some mails. Something different. Don't know what it'll be. We've finished our new player guide.
Yeah.
Do an army review. Play a game. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. And we'll get you next week. So. That's good night from Barry and Paul.
See you later.
Would you like to know more? would you like to know more?